Welcome to all of you who have come to participate in our worship service here this morning. We trust that if you are young or not so young, have had a more relaxed or a stressful week, if you're concerned about many things or are concerned about nothing really at all, if you have come to worship often or have been absent for some time, we trust that you will feel welcome here in our midst. We are glad you have come. Let's make it a little more official by standing as you are able. Let's greet those around us and let's welcome each other here. Let's just spend a brief time looking at announcements yet. We are grateful for the opportunity of harvest from garden produce and fruit in the fields and grain from the fields. Sorry, fruit from the trees. We are thankful to God for God's increase. We pray for safety, patience, and perseverance. Tim Weed began his treatments this past Monday, and Nettie is still waiting for a phone call. This week is supposed to be coming, and she will find out some more about timeline for her continued treatments as well. It's going to be the beginning of another school year. It's just around the corner. We want to acknowledge all the preparations that students and teachers are making to prepare themselves. It struck me funny, but I think even the Brick was getting in on the advertisements of back to school, and they had a back to school mattress sale. I just struck me funny somehow, you know. Here's your grade 2 child going back. Here's a mattress for you. This is what you're going to need. So make sure you take good care of it because we want to have it back after you're done. Anyway. Oh, Promotion Sunday, September 10th. Take note of the details regarding the outdoor service. We invite you to stay for lunch. Please bring a salad or a plate of garden veggies or your favorite ice cream topping. I should just point out that pineapple is strictly forbidden. There have been too many reoccurring health issues that result from ingesting this whatever it is. Actually, really, pineapple is not a topping at all. It's not for anything. It should not be on anything at all. So, just to let you know. Jerry has some youth announcements.
Good morning. For the first youth event, bring everything pineapple that you can, and we'll put it in Rudy's office, okay? No, just kidding. Jokes. We're going to be starting off youth on September 13th, and we're doing something a little bit different this year. We're joining the junior and senior youth groups together. So if you're in grade 7 to grade 12, you're more than welcome to join us September 13th at 7 o'clock. The doors will open, 7:30 we're going to start, and we'd love to see you there. We're going to have some fun, and we're going to learn about God. It'll be great. Thanks a lot.
Are there any other announcements we should be making? For a call to worship, I would suggest that there are any number of items that can rob us of our knowing God and trusting God as our refuge and strength. What about uncertainty for the future or the present? What about health issues, fear, frustration? What if you're concerned for somebody else's well-being? What if you want to be helpful, but you don't know how? Rejection, being misunderstood, and depression. And the list goes on. These items can all crowd our lives, and they can suck our joy and leave us feeling depleted and exhausted. Then I find really amazing that the writer of Psalm 46 comes along and claims that even if the earth should change and the mountains would tremble, it's just an amazing image. We just came back from BC, and you think of these mountains as actually trembling in the heart of the sea. That something very seriously is going on. He says the waters can roar and foam, but in spite of all that, he says, we will not fear because God is our refuge and our strength. I think the writer of Psalm 91 is more specific when he says, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High, who abides in the shadow of the Mighty, will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. There's something really significant about dwelling and abiding. Stay close to the shadow of the Almighty. There's no straying, no distraction. Just stay close. So we pray to replace what alienates us to what can help us dwell and abide. Come and fill our hearts with your love. You alone, O Lord, are holy. Please join me as we sing as our prayer. Come and fill our hearts with your love. You alone, O Lord, are holy. Come and fill our hearts with your love. Alleluia. Come and fill our hearts with your love. You alone, O Lord, are holy. Come and fill our hearts with your love. Alleluia.
So this might look a little different than usual. He's not Kirsten, but he's Tyson. This is her first time playing piano up here, so have a little grace on us as we do this. I was going to share. Usually, it's funny, usually before I lead worship, like regularly before I lead worship, the night before I have like a really dumb dream of like last night, I had a dream. I was up here leading worship and Tyson was here. And then I was trying to do like the speaking beforehand like I'm doing right now. And I couldn't talk. I was talking so slowly and everyone was looking like they're falling asleep. But I was trying so hard to talk and I couldn't. And then I was trying to read the verse and then I read the wrong verse. And then I was like, oh no. And then I was like, oh, we'll just start singing. And then Tyson started playing and everyone started singing, but it was a song that I didn't even know, and I was like, what's happening? And then I was looking around, and then afterward, my cousin Logan, who doesn't come to church, was there. And then he was like, Kendra, I was falling asleep when you were talking. Like, what were you talking about? And I was like, I'm so sorry. And then that was my dream, and I woke up. I was like, oh, shoot. But that's okay. I hope that won't happen. I have two verses that I would like to share. One thing I've been learning is that about what it means to die to ourselves and then to become a new person. Graham Cook said in a message I recently was watching, when God looks at you, he doesn't see anything wrong with you because everything that was wrong with you, he nailed that to the cross. And Romans 6, verse 3 to 7, Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may have a new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. And then Colossians 1, which was my favorite verse throughout all of YWAM when I was there. Colossians 1, verse 19 to 22. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in Jesus, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without any blemish and free from any accusation. So let's just sing and just remember that when God sees us, he sees Jesus, and he doesn't see the things that we've done wrong. And we're going to start by singing, Great Are You, Lord, so you can all stand or do whatever you like, because you're free to worship how you'd like. You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, we pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, we pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, we pour out our praise. It's your breath, sorry, in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, we pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. Will cry, these bones will sing, Great are you, Lord. And all the earth will shout your praise, our hearts will cry, these bones will sing, Great are you, shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing, great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, we pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, we pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. Step down into darkness, open my eyes, let me see beauty that made this heart adore you, hope of a life spent with you. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, you're altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all days, oh so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth, you created, all for love's sake became poor. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. So here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Thank you. deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that He should give His only Son to make a wretch His treasure. How great the pain of searing loss! The Father turns His face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon a cross, my sin upon His shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held Him there until it was a me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, His death and resurrection. Why should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, His wounds have paid my ransom. Why should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, His wounds have paid my ransom.
You guys can have a seat. I think it's offertory right now.
Word of prayer before we take the offering. Let's bow to pray. Lord, we know with all our hearts that You have paid our ransom, that You are our God, the Lord who is altogether lovely, altogether worthy of our worship, altogether worthy of the offering that we give, that we receive for Your sake and for Your glory. Amen.
And I invite you guys to sing along too to the song if you know it.
Every song we could ever sing, You're worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for You. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save.
worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you. And holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me.
Thank you for that song. Let's bow to pray, and at the end we will recite together the Lord's Prayer. Let us pray. Lord God, you call us to faith and trust in you. Your Spirit invites, it prods, it challenges us. Often we are reluctant to heed the call. It seems so much easier to cling to that which seems familiar, secure, and safe. So we seek your help to risk letting go, to trust your vision for us as individuals and as a church. We would pray that for all those individual groups and places we have mentioned in our bulletin, and even for those whom you bring to mind who we did not mention. May your peace pervade our minds, your hope our vision, and your love our actions, as together we pray the prayer you taught your disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Caitlin has prepared a children's story. I would invite children to come and hear what she has to say.
Good morning. How are you guys? Good. Are you excited to go back to school? I should not have said that. Yeah? I have a question for you guys. How many of you like to play hide and seek? It's pretty fun, eh? Do you have a special hiding place when you play that nobody can find you in? Yeah, some of you? It's your secret place? That's pretty cool. Well, I want to tell you a story about when I was a little girl, and I had to go find a hiding place. I had to find a refuge. So when I was young, I was really, really scared of thunderstorms. How many of you guys are scared of thunderstorms? They're kind of loud, eh? Kind of scary? Eh. So my family was camping, and when we went camping, we always went in tents. And so Mom and Dad would be in one tent, and all the kids would be in the other tent. And we were far away from home. We were 2.5 hours away from my house. And we were camping in tents. And we heard that there was going to be a storm during the night. And I was very scared. And I could see clouds in the distance. And I thought, oh boy, this is going to be scary. I'm in a tent. There's nothing to protect me. But before we went to sleep, it got very still. And it got very calm. And it was so quiet. So I thought, oh, there probably won't be a storm tonight. It'll be okay. So I went to sleep, I fell asleep, and all of a sudden during the night I woke up and heard a sound like a train. Have you guys ever heard a train coming before? It's loud, eh? It's just rolling along the tracks. It sounded like a train. It was so loud, and it was the wind, and it was a storm coming, and it was getting closer and closer, and I could see lightning, and I could hear thunder. And then all of a sudden it started to rain, and it was pouring rain. It was so loud that our tents were right next to each other, Mom and Dad and us kids, and we couldn't hear each other talking. My mom was yelling. She was yelling if we were okay, and we couldn't hear her. So I felt like I was all by myself. Now, the funny part of the story is, do you guys know my little brother Caleb? Well, he's not so little anymore, but you know Caleb? He was fast asleep. He was sleeping in a puddle in the tent. And it was thundering and lightning and windy, and he was just chilling there. He was all good. So anyways, here I was, all scared in the tent, and so my parents came running, and they said, we have to go. There's a tornado coming. We have to get going. So we all piled into the van. We were all soaking wet, and you know what? My grandma and grandpa lived just 15 minutes away. So we could drive over to my grandma and grandpa's house, and we were safe. So we went there for the night, and we were safe from the storm. And we found out the next day that there had been a tornado, and it was very close by, and it had actually lifted a building off of the ground. Isn't that crazy? But we were safe because we had a safe place to go. We had a refuge. So Psalm 91, the first two verses says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him I will trust." And you know what? After that, I wasn't actually that scared of storms, because I thought, if I could be in a tent during a storm, then I should be okay, because I was safe. So I want you guys to think about, whenever you're afraid, that God is a safe place to hide. Think of the safest place that you hide when you play hide and seek. And God is like that. He is safe, and he'll protect you, even if there are scary things around you. Let's pray. God, thank you that you are a safe place and that you watch over us. Thank you that you are always with us. I pray this in your name. Amen. Okay, you can go back to your seats.
invite you all to stand.
Never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never gives up, never runs out of me. Your presence is all I need, it's all I want, and all I seek, and without it, without it, there's no meaning. Your presence is the air I breathe, the song I sing, and the love I need, and without it, without it, I'm not living. So I will exalt you, Lord. I will exalt you, Lord. There is no one like you, God. So I will exalt you. All I need, it's all I want, it's all I seek, and without it, without it, there's no meaning. Your presence is the air I breathe, the song I sing, and the love I need, and without it, without it, I'm not living. So I will exalt you, Lord. I will exalt you, Lord. There is no one like you, God. So I will exalt you, Lord. I will exalt you, Lord. No other name be lifted high. There will be no one like you, and no one beside you. You alone are worthy of all. There will be no one like you, and no one beside you. You alone are worthy of all praise. There will be no one. There will be no one like you, and no one beside you. Are worthy of all praise. There will be no one like you, and no one beside you. You alone are worthy of all praise. So I will exalt you, Lord. I will exalt you, Lord. There is no one like you, God. I will exalt you, Lord. I will exalt you, Lord. No other name be lifted. Exalt you, Lord, no other name be lifted high.
Psalm 91. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and buckler. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge, no evil shall be allowed to befall you, no plague come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the adder. The young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot. Because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. This is God's word.
As I've been reading through Psalm 91 over the past few weeks, I've been amazed by the promises and the declarations made in it. But before we jump into some of the truths that we can find there that we can apply to our lives, I'd like to take a little bit of time to give some background information. Commentators aren't all in agreement as to who wrote it. Some say Moses wrote Psalm 91, and others say David. The ones that say that Moses wrote it, they're drawing on tradition, which says that the previous psalm that has an author attributed to it, they probably wrote the ones after until there's a new name that appears. And those that say that David wrote it think that David probably wrote it because there was that one point where he made the people take a census, and this is probably written when he was facing the plagues that God sent as a result of that. So they're not all in agreement as to who wrote it. And this morning in Sunday school, Kenley said that in his Bible notes, they said that some random Levite may have written this psalm as well. And so not every scholar is in agreement as to who wrote it. But I think that regardless of who wrote this psalm, it has a lot to say about trusting in God and how we, and the benefits of having a close relationship with him. Now, if a random stranger came up to you and said, I have this check for you. It's made out to as much as you want. You can write in whatever number you like, but I'll write your name on it and you can go cash it at the bank. Would you take the check? Would you believe that that's true? Would you try it just in case they were telling the truth? Or would you just say, no thanks, I'm good, I'm fine? Or if somebody came up to you on the street and offered you a coffee or a drink of some kind, would you take it, or would you think, no way, what's in that? I don't believe you. Nothing's for free, so I'm not going to take that. The reason I'm illustrating these stories is that close relationships are built on trust. And if we don't trust somebody, we're not likely to believe them when they say certain things to us. If I tell Judah I love you, he knows that I love him because he's my son and he trusts me, although sometimes that trust is a little shaky, but that's all good. Psalm 91 is also written in a few different voices. Verses 1 and 2 tell us to whom the author is writing. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. It's written to people who dwell in the shelter of the Most High. And what does that mean? What does it mean to dwell in his shelter? What does it mean to rest in the shadow of the Almighty? I'd say that this psalm is written to those who have a close relationship with God. And one of the things that I want to mention this morning is that we can have a close relationship with God. So, the two things that I want to talk about this morning are how can we have a close relationship with God, and what are the benefits of that close relationship with him? First of all, how can we have this close relationship with God? What is it that makes a close relationship? Trust is one thing, but it's important, I think, also to think about those close relationships that we have and how these reflect the reality of having a close relationship with God. Cassie and I celebrated our 5th anniversary last weekend, and we celebrated by spending some intentional time together without our kids. Not because we don't love our kids, but because our kids take a lot of our focus. They take a lot of time and energy, and they're just very busy, as you probably heard a couple of minutes ago. In order to have close relationships, we need to put in effort. We need to put in intentional time with each other. And I think that a close relationship doesn't happen on accident. As Cassie and I have learned, being married for only a couple of years and having 2 kids who are under 5, at our stage of life, we definitely need to be intentional about spending time together. We need to be together without a big list of things to do, because we can get distracted by those things as well, like doing the dishes or cleaning the house or cleaning up after the kids or changing diapers. And we need to have fun together, because all that normal stuff of life, well, it's important, it's not what builds closeness in our relationship necessarily. Unless we can be working on something together, that helps to build closeness too. But doing fun things together does as well. It can be very easy to get caught up in all the stuff of life and for our relationship to drift apart, especially in busy times. I'd say that our relationship with God is similar. Our relationship with God takes intentional time as well. We need to take time to be with God. We need to take time to do fun things with God, to enjoy the creation that he's made around us. I went with the young adults yesterday. We went to St. Malo with some of them, and that was a lot of fun. Not just because we didn't go swimming because it was too cold, but, well, some did. Some were brave, Kendra. But we got to sit around the fire and see the trees that God had made and enjoy being outside, which is important too. I've realized in my life that if I neglect spending time with God, I will without a doubt find myself more uptight, more anxious about the things that I have on my to-do list, and about how much time I have to do them. It has been important for me to take time to intentionally be with God, whether that's through worshiping him, through singing or playing my guitar, or sitting and reading his word and just being quiet. And the place that I am makes a difference too. If I'm sitting in my office, it can sometimes be hard to do that. So sometimes I need to take myself out of my normal environment and go somewhere that's a little bit different, somewhere where I'm not distracted by all the normal things that I have to do. That can be helpful when we're trying to build a close relationship with God. Even Jesus recognized the importance of taking intentional time with God, and it said that he often went away to be alone with the Father and to pray. And the disciples all fell asleep some of those times. It's important for us to be reminded when we take intentional time with God that he is still in control, even if our lives don't seem to be. Another way to describe those that the verse 1 says dwell in the shelter of the Most High would be to say those that sit down in the shelter of the Most High, or in the secret place. I like the phrase sit down. It reminds me of the story of Mary and Martha. Martha is busy doing all these things to serve people, and Mary just sits at the feet of Jesus. Martha gets kind of ticked off, and she asks Jesus to tell her sister to help her to do all these things. My sister's not even helping me do this stuff. Tell her to help me. But Jesus says, no. Mary has found the better part, and it will not be taken from her. In that story, Jesus highlights the importance of taking time to sit at his feet, to listen to his word, to hear his message, and just to be with him. In order to be in his presence, I think that sometimes we need to put all of the things that we need to do aside and just rest with him. Psalm 91, in verses 3 to 13, the author outlines things that are true for those who are in a close relationship with God. And verses 14 to 16 end with some promises from God to those who are in close relationship with him. And so who is it that has a close relationship with God? In John 15, verses 9 to 10, Jesus says, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love." And in verse 12, he clarifies by saying, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you." We remain in close fellowship to God when we love God and love each other the way he commanded us to through Jesus. I was reading an article about building close relationships the other day, and it mentioned the importance of knowing about each other. The author mentioned knowing each other's favorite things, knowing what book or television show the other person is watching. Getting to know just little details about people's lives is important if we want to build close relationships. I think that in addition to spending intentional time with God, getting to know him, we need to know about him and spend time reading his word. Jesus came to earth not only to be the sacrifice that covers the penalty for our sins, but to show us what God the Father is like. We can get to know him through the gospel accounts. And in fact, we see many examples of what love looks like through the way Jesus reflected God in the gospels. He often takes time for those that others dismiss. He often has compassion on the poor and needy. He often is found with people that others disapproved of. He taught them what was true, and he demonstrated the fruit of the Spirit that we read about in Galatians. He reflected God to us. When we trust God and remain in close fellowship with him, Psalm 91 makes it clear that God is our rest and God is our protection, and we need not fear. So when we have a close relationship with God, he is our rest. What does that mean? I'm going to read verse 1 again because I've just been sitting in it and really enjoying it. Verse 1 reads, "Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty." So if we remain in close fellowship with God, he is our rest. It is very calming and reassuring to know when we are close to God and to know that he is close to us. And over the past few weeks, God has highlighted to me the idea that I need to be close to him in order to find rest. In Matthew 11, verse 28, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." This is a verse that has brought me comfort over the last few years, and it's helped me to realize that Jesus offers us rest, and he helps us with our burdens. He shows us if we're carrying burdens that aren't meant for us to carry. And if we know people and care about people, especially those going through hard times with their health or things like that, sometimes we can take those burdens and stress out about other people and worry about them and be concerned about these things. And I think that's a real important part about being human, is that we hear about other people and we sometimes hurt for them. But there are unhealthy ways to carry those burdens as well. And I want to say that we need to bring those things before God. When we think of those people that are struggling with things or going through tough times, we need to bring those things to God and ask him to do something about them, especially the ones that we can't do anything about. Because prayer is doing something. Praying for people does make a difference. Come to me, all you who are wearied and burdened, and I will give you rest. We need to trust God and let Him carry the things that are too heavy for us to carry on our own. Sometimes we try to deal with these things on our own and in our own ways. When I was growing up in elementary school, I loved to read books. I would spend hours reading stories. I loved to get caught up in a good story. A lot of them were detective books. Some were sci-fi, where there were people on spaceships and things like that, which was really cool. But it was amazing to follow these stories and to come to the end of the story and find the resolution. That was always my favorite part, when the story ends a good way. Because in life, that doesn't always happen, and sometimes we're in the middle of a story and we don't see how it's going to end properly or the right way. And reading a good book, you can come to the end of the story and everything works out and it's all good and everybody's happy. And that was an escape for me. That was a place where I sometimes found rest. So where do you go to find rest? Are you trusting in God and going to Him for rest, or are there other things that you turn to? As we grow up, the realities that we face can sometimes seem more challenging. Junior high and high school are especially tough because our bodies and brains are growing and changing. I remember when I was in high school going for walks with God because of relationship struggles with friends and not knowing how to deal with it and just needing to get out and yell or scream at somebody when I didn't think that was good to do that to my brothers. But I would go and I would tell God the things that were on my heart. I would tell Him the things that were going on that I couldn't change on my own, that I was having issues with. And He didn't always give me the answers that I wanted. He didn't always speak with a voice and say, "This is what you need to do." But more often than not, after I went and spent time with Him, He would bring peace and calmness and reassurance to me. And I would know that even though the situation isn't resolved, God is in control. And I can trust Him. And those are the times when I related to the author of Psalm 91. When they write, "I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust." Sometimes it can be difficult to say that. But I wonder sometimes, what is our trust really in? What are the things that we're trusting in every day? Are we trusting in ourselves? In our own abilities? Or are we trusting in our savings accounts? Give me a second. Sometimes we can trust in ourselves too much and be self-focused. But when we trust in God, we know that we'll do the best that we can and trust God to make up the rest. A close relationship with God is marked by trusting in Him. And we can trust that He is in control even when we face uncertain circumstances. We can trust that He is good even when things happen in our lives or the lives of the people that we care about that we don't understand and that we can't carry on our own. It is God who created the universe. He created people for relationship with Him. And the good news is that God also sent Jesus to restore our relationship with Him, even after people had chosen to do things their own way rather than trusting in Him and living His way. And as we put our trust fully in God, we can rest in knowing that we're close to Him and He is watching over us. When we stay in close relationship with God, He is our protection and we need not fear. Verses 3 to 8 read, "Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked." God will watch over us like a mother hen watching over its chicks. He will guard us with His wings. His faithfulness will be our shield and our rampart. If we are in close relationship with God because we believe in Jesus Christ for our salvation, we need not be afraid because our eternity is secure with Him. Even if things happen in our life that we can't control and that we don't recognize and we don't want to happen, we can recognize that our eternal life is in him, our spiritual life is safe with him, because he is true. We don't need to fear punishment for our sins because Jesus has already paid the penalty for those. And we need to keep our eyes fixed firmly on him because he is our salvation. We are not saved by our own acts of service or our own abilities or our own goodness, but we are saved by the mercy and the grace of God. He has given us a reason for hope and a reason for life. We don't even need to fear death because our life after death is secure in Jesus. God's faithfulness will be our shield. And we can trust God to protect us and to be with us no matter the circumstances we find ourselves facing. If you say, "The Lord is my refuge," and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you, no disaster will come near your tent, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. The word refuge used in this psalm brings out the important role of trust in coping with the anxieties that beset the lives of the early Christians and us as well. And it's important for us as believers still today. The lion and the cobra signified both troubles that people would face, the lion and the cobra being two of the most imminent threats in that place in the world, and also reminds us of the promise that God has made that he will crush Satan underneath our feet. We are victorious through Christ. As we remain in a close relationship with God, he is our protection and we need not fear. And in verses 14 to 16, God makes some declarations. He says, "Because he loves me, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation." We can trust God because he is good and he does not lie. We can have a close relationship with him when we believe in Jesus Christ, spend intentional time with God, and getting to know God through his word. When we stay in close relationship with God, he is our rest and he is our protection, and we need not fear. So maybe this morning you're feeling far from God, or you've been overwhelmed by your circumstances and it feels hard to trust God today. Maybe you've never felt close to God and you've been asking the question, how do I get a close relationship with God? Romans 10 verse 9 says, "If you declare with your mouth, 'Jesus is Lord,' and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." It all starts with believing in Jesus and recognizing his place as Lord. God has exalted Jesus' name above every other name on heaven and on earth. Jesus doesn't need us to clean ourselves up before coming to him. He is the one who cleans us up. He is the one who promises to transform us as we put our trust in him. Philippians 2 verse 13 says, "For it is God who is working in you, enabling you both to desire and to work out his good purpose." God is the one who gives us the desire and the power to do what pleases him. He desires a close relationship with us more than we can ever grasp. He made us for that close relationship with him. We often know what we need to do to get closer to God, and yet something keeps us from doing it. And my challenge to you today is, do what you need to do to get close to God. Recognize the lies that are keeping you from him and trust him. God is good, God is for you, and God knows the things that you're trying to keep secret before you even tell him. Get right with him and get right with those in your life that you need to. And if you are right with God today, be encouraged. He is still with you. Stay close to him. Love him and love others. Because Jesus loves us the way we are, but he will not let us stay the way we are. Amen.
Thank you, Jerry. Everyone can stand.
thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. And I've heard many searching for answers far and wide, but I know we're all searching for answers. Only you provide. You know just what we need before we say a word. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You are perfect in all of your ways. You're perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. So undeniable, I can hardly speak. Peace so unexplainable, I can hardly think. As you call me deeper still, as you call me deeper still, as you call me deeper still into love, love, love. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. Who I am. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. Who I am. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am.
Please bow with me. Creator God, you made the world and you hold all things together. We come to you recognizing that too often we lose sight of you and focus on the things that we can be afraid of. As we go into this week, God, I pray that you would be our focus, that our trust in you would grow, and that we would look to you first before we look to anything else. That you would be our rest, our protection, and that you would guide and guard us. I pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.